It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in on a Monday. Of course, week 7 NFL concludes this evening. The Bears at the Rams. I'm Patrick Maher, broadcasting live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. We head out to Jersey and say what's up to Michael Lombardi. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Patrick. How are you? How are things?
We had
a good day yesterday, Patrick.
We did. You know what? A nice little bounce back from set. You killed it yesterday. Now, and with that breaking news, we have to report, and this was part of Are They Good? And that's the Browns sitting at 5-2. It looks like ACL for Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be done for the year, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's really turned out to be, this is what, the second of his third year that he really hasn't been able to finish the season. Injuries have really plagued him. I mean, there's no denying that these injuries have hurt his effectiveness since he's left the New York Football Giants. So, you know, the Browns move on. You know, Higgins came in and played really well. Baker Mayfield took him down the field. You know, the only game my handicapping lost yesterday, Patrick, was when the kid didn't make the extra point.
Which one?
That killed.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Of course. Covering
that's
three.
That's the only game going into tonight that my power rankings didn't have right. The only one. And, you know, I mean, and so I'm a little bitter about the Browns today. Other than that, I feel good.
I understand the bitterness. Of course, the Browns, would you have met 3.5, end up 37.
3.5, yeah. Yeah. And my power ranking said it should have been a 4.5 line. I went with it. I went straight down the line on the power rankings on my picks tonight. I've got, you know, I won't jinx. I've got the Bears. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, the one that was really shocking for me was, you know, Will Hill texted me on Monday about his picks, who he was going with. And he had Arizona in there on Monday. And my first reaction was, as we talked about all last week, was no way. And it ended up being the right pick. And it ended up being the right pick on my board, too, because I had Arizona should have been the favorite.
Yeah, the Cardinals ended up closing, catching 3.5. They win 37-34. It was on late. I wouldn't even listen if you haven't watched the tape yet, but that was a crazy ending to the football
game. Oh, I watched it.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, no, I watched the whole thing. I wouldn't miss it. I mean, that was a compelling game. You know, I mean, Cliff has to call the timeout because he's going down to the, he's afraid he's going to get the penalty. And then he caught, then the kid comes back and misses it. No, I don't know. Isaiah Simmons played 5 plays in that game, Patrick. 5. And I don't know who Russell was throwing the ball to. And Simmons made the play of the play. He's never in there. He only played 7 plays in the kicking game. Here's a guy who's fast, who's athletic, right? Mm-hmm. And they can't get him on the field. There's something seriously wrong there. Now, we're going to hear about, like what Collinsworth said, oh, this is a star from the draft, you know. He played 5 plays in the game. He played 12 plays total.
What
Think
is
about that?
That? What is, they just can't use him? I mean, he had the big pick where he dropped back in the
coverage.
He
doesn't have a position.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a position. He's not instinctive to play linebacker. And he's not, you know, he's not a pass rusher. They don't even bring him off the edge. They don't even bring them off the edge, but congratulations to them. 5 wins. If you bet the over, there's a really good chance you're going to cash that ticket at the end of the year. So well done.
Yeah, you see pre-flop there. 7 as far as the win total on Arizona coming into the season. That's 5-2. They've won 3 straight at the Jets, at the Cowboys, of course, on Monday night. Then Sunday Night Football, Seahawks. Yeah, he's a little bit different than somebody like a Derwin James because he's bigger. He's even more of a tweener, right? Derwin James has, you can put Derwin James at safety. You can move him up in the box. But with Isaiah Simmons, he's so caught in the middle there. He's very lengthy.
And he's really stiff. He's not really as athletic as the media has told you he is. He's really a straight line speed guy. And those guys have a hard time finding a place, especially when they have to go out and cover one-on-one with a tight end that can change directions. You got to be able to plant and redirect. And I think that's his biggest problem. But you would think he would have some value coming off the corner or just as a blitzer. But obviously, he's having a hard time figuring it out in terms of the scheme. Plays 5 plays, makes the play of the game. And that's all we're going to hear about for the next week.
The dog 7-4 ATS over 6-5-1. Okay, so again, road teams, the mitigation of home field advantage. Road teams are 58-46 ATS. That's a 56% clip. Short road dogs. This is from Josh Applebaum in the daily newsletter there, VSIN.com. You can sign up for free. Short road dogs, 6 or less, 27-12 this year, 69% clip. I was getting text messages from your buddy Will Hill. As soon as the Lions beat the Falcons, who, of course, the Falcons are just a juggernaut. As soon as the Lions beat the Falcons, he's got them going to the postseason. Of course, he wants to bet me on it. It's a 3-3 team. They beat the Jags. They beat the Falcons. They luck boxed their way into a win in Atlanta yesterday.
You know, I don't understand, Patrick. Why didn't they? You know, they're all mad at Todd Gurley, right? Like, why didn't Raheem Morris just kneel the ball down?
I know.
Like, why didn't they just kneel it down? Center the ball and kneel it down. Why are we handing the ball off? Why don't we just kneel it? If we're going to kill time, if we never intended to score, which is what they said after the game, then just kneel it down. Just kneel it. Yeah. And see what it goes. I mean, Stafford played well on the final drive. I don't know the rules of what happened. I don't know why they didn't get the 10-second runoff, all that at the end of the game. But, look, give credit where credit is due. They made the plays that they had to make, 23-22. I thought they rushed the passer. This is 2 weeks in a row now. Detroit has rushed the passer better than they have all season. And, you know, they found a way to win a close game, something they didn't do against Chicago in the opener.
The Cowboys are now 0-7 ATS. I'm going to give you the numbers here as far as the NFC East. The Eagles are your betting favorite at minus 139. Your second betting favorite are still the Cowboys at plus 280. That is not happening. Washington's jumped up to plus 425, and the Giants are 14-1. The Cowboys now, the only team, 0-7 ATS. They fall in Washington. They got pummeled in this game.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. And the question that we all need to be asking, whatever those analytical people are today, is if Washington kicks the extra point against the Giants, they're in first place in the East. Yep. I mean, they've beaten all the three teams in the East. Let's be honest here, right? They had Washington. They should have beaten. I mean, they should have beaten the Giants. They beat Philly in the opener, and they soundly beat Dallas. So. I don't, you know, I mean, it's their only three, it would be their only three wins, but they could still be in the lead here. For me, you know, Dallas is back to square one. You know, Jerry's going to have to use his Hall of Fame skills as a football man to figure out how to solve this problem.
All right, well, let's talk about that. Maybe some overreactions as we welcome you in on a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. So Mike McCarthy, immediately, it's one and done as he have to fire assistants. It's a 25-3 loss. He came out after, obviously, the injury to the quarterback and essentially said, you know, Dalton got crushed and nobody stood up for him. It does feel like you're watching that team defensively. They can't tackle is one thing. Jalen Smith's running around like he can't tackle. And the defense just doesn't seem to be giving effort.
No, and they're not well. I mean, look, you're giving up 200 yards rushing every time you turn around. That's not just on the players. That's on the coaches.
Yeah.
There's not, you know, running defense is about fit. It's about setting edge. It's about everybody getting into a gap, controlling their gap. It's about uniformity within the front, you know. So that's not happening in Dallas. That's not happening in Dallas. And I think you got to take your look at the coaching staff. I mean, he's got to do something. It's been 7 weeks, and the defense goes from bad. And they've got good players on the defense. They've got some really good players.
100%. Now, how about we have to talk about maybe an overreaction as far as Cam and the Patriots. The Patriots got beat up yesterday by the 49ers. Two bad games in a row for Cam. The last three games, 11 turnovers, two touchdowns for this Patriot team. You know, Cam, the team just 94 yards on the ground, a 33-6 loss at home to Garoppolo and the 49ers.
Yeah, look, you know, the score wasn't as close as the game was. I mean, it should have been 53-6. I mean, they were terrible in the game. There's no denying it. I mean, Cam, I don't know what's happened to him from the Seattle game to now. He doesn't look like he throws the ball. He's indecisive. If he was a hitter in baseball, he would have a giant hitch in his swing. It just doesn't come off his hand very good. You're wondering about, is his shoulder fine? They have no rhythm at all on offense. It has really little to do with their skill players. They can't execute in the passing game whatsoever, you know, and their offensive line breaks down. Tooney gets hurt again. And then defensively, Patrick, they were really bad yesterday on defense. They couldn't stop them. They only forced a punt until the fourth quarter. They had an interception. Kittle's wide open over the middle of the field, and Jimmy Garoppolo overthrows them. And that's the only chance they had at stopping them. On third and 12, no problem. Kittle wins a one-on-one route against Stephon Gilmore. They're just not good right now. And Coach Belichick's got to go back to the drawing board, try to get good at something defensively, whether it's stopping the run, whether it's coveraging. Gilmore's not playing good. No one in their secondary is playing good. Cam Newton's not playing good. There's a host of players not playing good, and that's got to change.
Cam, 9 of 15, three picks, no touchdowns. So they bench him. They go to Stidham. It's a 2-4 football team. My question is, it's a 1 year deal. Does he continue to ride? And again, maybe a dumb question, but are they going to try to figure out what they have with Stidham the rest of the way, or try to write this with Cam?
Well, I think they're going to try to – I mean, look, they go back to week two. I mean, against Seattle, we played really well. Week three against the Raiders, you know. And then he had COVID, and since the COVID, he hasn't been very good. Is his shoulder a problem? I'm not in the building, so I don't know. But right now, since that Kansas City game, you know, since their supposed bye, they can't throw the football effectively. They haven't been able to execute with throwing the ball, and that's a problem. And the one thing they do, which is really interesting, that you can't do – is they typically have always been, their trademark has always been, we are not going to lose, you know, before we can win. So what they have done, though, is they are losing games. They're turning the ball over at the second highest rate in the National Football League, only to the Dallas Cowboys. And if that doesn't stop, nothing's going to help them win a game.
It's a party in Jersey, not because of Bruce's new album, but because the Jets... Well, they lost, but they covered a football game. They're 0-7, but they're 1-6 ATS. Just an 8-point loss at home in Jersey to the Bills. So they covered the 9.5. How about that?
Yeah, that was impressive, right? I mean, and they got up 10-0. I mean, they got, you know, you were up 20-0 when the game started, you know, and yet you had a chance. I mean, they were going to do it. Darnold again turns the ball over. I thought Josh Allen, you know, I know he had 307 yards. I thought he was inconsistent once again. You know, the Bills defense bailed them out against a bad Jet offense, and they covered, and yeah, there you go. And so you win that one.
Are they good? Okay. Are they good? Are they bad on
the
Monday?
Bills?
No. Well, you know what? That's a great one. Are the Bills good?
I think the Bills are just good. I don't think they're great. I just think they're good. I think that Cole Beasley really has bailed them out. He's been a little bit of their running game. And I think defensively, they've been opportunistic. I mean, they played against the Jets and, you know, I mean, they couldn't really do anything against, we know Tennessee's defense is bad and they struggled against Tennessee's defense, slowing them down. You know, they couldn't do a thing. It really was bad. I just think they're an average team, Patrick. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a 5-2 team. I'll ask you another one about a 5-2 team. We started with the Browns. The Browns are 5-2, but are they good?
Yeah, they are good. They're good on offense. They're terrible on defense. They've given up 30 points another game, and their field goal kicker is on my list, right? And so, you know, Parquet, I mean, please, I mean, like, seriously, just make it. I mean, you make the comeback, you know, Peoples makes the catch in the end zone. You got a chance to cover that line, you know. And then now I got to listen to why all the sharps were. You see, this is exactly
no. But Michael, if you lose on an extra point, your cap was right. I mean, there's so much variance.
No, I know that. I know my cap was right. But now I got to listen to why all the steam was coming in on the Bengals. That's what I got to listen to. The steam. Remember, there was a ton of steam on the Bengals. There was a ton of steam on the Titans. There was a ton of steam on Washington that ended up winning. Let me think what else. Well, there was another game that there was a ton of steam on that ended up losing. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I am now down on steam. Like, I'm completely out on steam.
You're anti-steam?
I'm anti-steam. I think it's all just noise. I think it comes back to who's the better. Oh, I know. Houston. Was there more steam on that line's frozen? They froze that line. You could have gave Houston 10. My line was 7.5 in that game, and I was low.
It's a steam move when you're right. It's a steaming pile when you're wrong. How about the Packers at the Texans? A 15-point win. They closed 2.5. The steam was on the Texans. It was a steaming pile.
It was a steamer. It was a steamer. Here they come. Choo-choo. Here they come down. Everybody, who's got to do that? Like, seriously, that game looked too obvious. That was the only thing that bothered me. It was, and then finally I said, of course, I consulted with Mike Palm's campaign manager, Bill Berman.
Yes.
And he's like, how is that not a possible? You got to do that. It's too obvious. He said, well, obvious wins. And he's right.
Happy birthday, Bill. You know what? I want to save Brady and the Bucks with Las Vegas here. I want to save that for when we come back, a 45-20 win. Let me ask you another one. Aaron's got the Chargers in the mix for are they good? The Chargers, a 39-29 win at home against the Jags.
They're not good. I mean, I had the Chargers in that one. I thought the line was right. I had that one there. They played good in the first quarter, played good in the fourth, and then the second and the third, Gardner Minshew came back. I think they're very average. If they would have played a better team yesterday, they would have not covered. It was a, to me, that was a fortunate cover, not a good handicap.
With the exciting college and pro football, obviously the action's every week, Michael. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options. You go in-game, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on Strip. Make sure you bring your ID and open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology. Remember, we're going to be broadcasting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the best analysis of the games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I'm trying to do the math here. That's pretty impressive you were up for that, because that was like midnight your time, Sunday Night Football wrapping up.
I watched the whole thing. I didn't miss a play. I was there. You know, I'm not going to, I mean, I got to watch Russell Wilson. Plus, I was concerned about, I mean, I think Al Michaels needs glasses, because, you know, Carlos Hyde took that ball around the corner. He had him out of bounds. Remember that?
Yes.
Then even on the field goal kick at the end of the game, he thought I didn't even get it was good.
Yeah. It does appear he's mailing it in. The energy has waned a little bit as well. I want to get into the Raiders and the Bucs coming back. Also, we'll get into the cap of the Monday Night Football game to wrap up week 7 right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, it's a huge week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, so watch it for free, okay? VSiN.com all week long. You can watch every show absolutely for free. Follow the money. Numbers game, Gil. Lombardi Line, my guys in the desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily programming. It's all free right now, 24/7, VSiN.com. While you're there, check out the 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets, which is a real key part of that, and our point spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Head to VSiN.com and start watching for free. We do welcome you back. Hope you're having a great Monday. I'm Patrick. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi. I just saw your podcast dropped about Cam, and you said he's not throwing the football. Is he like shot putting it? Is there something going on with that shoulder? What are you seeing from him throwing the football?
It looks like he's in pain throwing it. I mean, that interception of Fred Warner was like, who was he throwing it to?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it looks like he needs so much room in the pocket to make a throw, and it looks almost painful. I don't know if the shoulder's still a problem, if he's having scar tissues come from the surgery. I don't know. You know, I'm not making excuses for him, because he's not making excuses for himself. He said he's not playing well. Nobody has to make it. You know, he knows he's not playing well. You don't have to tell him that. So, you know, for me, it's hard to run an offense without any way you can get into a rhythm with any easy throw. And there were a couple easy throws. He's got Bird wide open on an over route. He doesn't hit it. He throws into a cluster that gets Keneal Harry sent out of the game with a concussion on a crossing route on 3rd and 5. I mean, they can't convert third down. They're bad in a lot of areas. And it starts with they're getting no production from the quarterback. Yesterday, he had the lowest QBR rating of any quarterback on the field.
Well, that is the Patriots, and a gentleman I'm sure you've heard of, Tom Brady, used to play for the Patriots. He's now with the Bucs. The Bucs beat the Raiders here in town 45-20 as 4-point favorites, easily covering. That goes over.
Raiders had steam, Patrick. Raiders had steam.
Big time steam. Now, the
steam move.
Nine players caught passes from Brady. I was completely wrong on this dude. He is clicking right now.
You know, we said it early in the year, he looked 43. Yesterday, he looked 28.
Yeah, he looked
great.
You
know, I mean, I think, and not to take anything away from Tommy, the reality of yesterday was the Tampa Bay offensive line dominated the game. They won the game. Those guys handled the Raiders off defensive front. Tom got no pressure at all on him. His uniform was clean at the end of the game. And we know that the Raiders can't cover anybody, whether they had Abrams in there or Arnett. It doesn't really matter. If Abrams played, they would have gone right after him. I mean, it doesn't really matter. They can't cover. And unless they get pressure, he had too many options to throw the ball to. And they played as well as they could play offensively, defensively, once they got control of the game. I mean, once again, Derek Carr's great. He's the seventh rated QBR quarterback in the during the week last week, and his team lost by 25 points. How's that possible? Yeah. How is that possible? You go to the QBR ratings and he's seventh and his team lost by 25 points. Now, I know it was a close game. I know it was a 24-21 game or 24-20 game going into the fourth. And, you know, they scored and, you know, then they got the turnover again. But look, the Bucs look like a complete team. They've got a really good defense. Todd Bowles does a great job. And this offense is starting to click. And then once they get Brown in there, once they get Brown in there and he can start utilizing the middle of the field with Brady, watch out. If this line keeps playing to the level they're playing, that's going to be a hard team to beat.
And they're not going anywhere because both sides of the ball up front, right? Defensively up front, offensively, even without Vita Vea, defensively up front, then offensively dominating. So the Bucs right now, by the way, minus 143 favorites in that division in the South NFC-wise. The Saints are your second betting favorite, obviously, at plus 125. AB, is it overkill with AB? I mean, nine different players caught passes. Are you good with this AB match with Brady?
They put LeSean McCoy out yesterday. He was on the inactive list. And, you know, because he really, I don't think he can do much anymore. And I think that Brown will take the place of that inside slot receiver and really give them another guy to make plays down the field. And he's going to make Evans a much better player, you know. So I don't think it's overkill. I think if guys understand their roles, everybody's going to contribute towards winning, which is ultimately that matters.
How about this? Quickly on the West NFC, Seahawks, you're betting favorite at minus 145. But the three others, essentially, you know, the Cardinals, 4.5 to 1, the Rams, 4.5 to 1, the 49ers 5.5 to 1. That's a fascinating division right now, the NFC West.
No doubt. And look, you know, every team has the liabilities in it. You know, the Seahawks can't play defense. Arizona's get struggles sometimes offensively. San Francisco's been killed with injuries. And the Rams, we know, you know, they haven't had any injuries. They've been healthy, and that's really helped them so far.
100%. Great job. Okay, we're coming back with Mr. Steam, Mr. Prevalone, Josh Applebaum, Market Insights. We'll talk about that Bears-Rams Monday Night Football game right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In the Indeed.com studio at the South Point Casino. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with the promo code VSIN20. I mentioned GM Shuffle, Michael Lombardi's podcast. Well, you can check out Josh Applebaum's podcast. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. It's free. It's one click, and it dropped 34 minutes ago. We do welcome in Mr. Prevalone, Market Insights. He is Josh Applebaum. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Patrick, Michael, doing great. Yeah, we got a ton to talk about today, guys. Obviously, we got our Monday night game here. But Patrick and Michael, just some high-level trends that we've seen come through yesterday and we've seen throughout the season cash at a pretty good rate. You mentioned, Patrick, you know, off the outset, dog 7-4-1 ATS. Technically, Washington was a pick 'em, but remember, that was a sharp line move to Washington, +3 to -1. But really, guys, it's all about road teams. I'm waiting kind of, you know, we saw overs do very well. Regression to the under has really taken place. But road teams continue to cash, and I think it definitely has something to do with, obviously, the lack of home field advantage that we've seen with COVID this year. But road teams, 58 and 46 ATS, 56%. Usually they're around 51%. Also, this is really the key, guys, and this is where we've been making some money on the Lombardi line. Road teams with a line move in their favor. When you see the line move toward the road team, like Patrick, your Detroit Lions yesterday, where they were +3 down to +1. You also saw it with Carolina. Carolina was 7.5 down to 7. Those road teams with a line move in their favor, 33 and 18 ATS, 65% against the spread so far this year. And also our grinder system, that short road dog. Anytime you're a dog on the road, +6 or less, 27 and 12 ATS, 69%. So to me, guys, the key is really road teams, the line move in their favor, and also road divisional dogs, ideally plus six or less. Those have been kind of the 1-2-3 systems for value-minded bettors that we've talked about on the Lombardi line that have cashed pretty good so far this year, cashed again yesterday.
Good job, Josh. Okay, Michael, let's do this. The Rams 4-2 straight up, 3-3 ATS. They're hosting the Bears. The Bears 5-1 straight up, 4-2 ATS. Now, they've been the kings of close games, if you want to put it that way. All five of their wins, the Bears coming by 7 points or less. The Rams, no respect for a Bears team that's lost once here, right, Michael? The Rams are laying six, and you got a total of 44.5 in LA.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of this comes down to my feeling is, what's Khalil Mack? Is he dressing? If he's not dressing, then I'm all bets are off on taking the Rams in this game, on taking the Bears in this game. But if he dresses and he can put some pressure, whether it's over on Haverstein or even on Whitworth over at left tackle, you know, that's going to bother Goff. And Goff has not played well against the Bears in his two starts. And I think one thing about the Rams, they've been able to stay healthy. Jordan Fuller's shoulder was a problem going into this game. But the Bears are one of those kind of teams that, you know, we talk about winning ugly, but winning ugly means you play good defense. And if they stop the run, the Rams, and I expect the Rams to come out fully throwing the football, but when they've played teams with defense that understands what they're trying to get done, the Giants, they have struggled to be able to win, and we'll see what happens tonight. But that rush is what's going to give the Rams the most trouble.
Josh Applebaum, the line movement here. Let's talk side and total.
Yeah, this is an interesting game tonight. I don't think the Bears are quote unquote sharp, but I think the Bears are what we would call kind of the value bet tonight. So the way I look at it, you know, the Bears, they're 5-1, they're 4-2 ATS. They've won two straight. Remember, they covered that Thursday night, beat the Bucks, also beat the Panthers. Those are both a couple of sharp bets in their direction. The Rams are 4-2, 3-3 ATS. They're off that loss in primetime to San Fran. The funny thing is, typically you see Bears win two in a row, Rams lose a game. I would typically want to buy low on that team that lost, and with the Rams here. What's intriguing to me, though, guys, is this opener was kind of unclear. Some books opened Rams -5.5, others open -7. We've seen this line kind of settle right in the middle at six. But to me, the reason why Chicago has some value, number one, the thing that I don't like tonight is there's no contrarian value. Tickets are split right down the middle. So these primetime games, you really want to have a contrarian opportunity, like we saw last night in that dog game where the Arizona Cardinals won and covered. You know, that was heavy betting the other way. In primetime, you could bet against the public and take the cards. So tickets are split. The line's pretty much at six. What you like about the Bears, though, a couple things. They're that road team this year that's done well. Short road dog plus six or less. They're matching that system. And then also a couple cherries on top. Vinovich is the ref tonight. He's pretty good to road teams in general, 57% ATS. You also look at primetime dogs this year, Patrick and Michael. Crazy. They're 15-6 ATS primetime dogs. Again, last night hit with the cards. You've also seen a little under money come in. So if you're worried about the spread, the under did fall 47-45. You've seen some steam come in on that under. But Michael Lombardi, what's your take here? To me, this isn't, like I mentioned, it's not a clear sharp play to the Bears, but I think the value is on the Bears, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, the Bears defense is what you're counting on. They're going to keep the game close. And you know, Nick Foles will have a few drives. They can make some plays. If they can block Aaron Donald inside, which is a huge challenge for the Bears, if they can do that, you can make some hay on this secondary. Obviously, you throw the ball away from Jalen Ramsey. He's going to be in the slot covering the inside slot receiver. You've got to be able to utilize the protection. And the Bears do enough offensively just at the time where they always seem to be in close games. And I think that's ultimately why the 6 points seems to be the right play for me. Take the points and the Rams, because I'm not sure the Rams, look, they've dominated the East. All those wins are against the East. And, you know, they struggled to beat the Giants at home. You know, they dominated Philadelphia. They dominated Washington when they went back there, and they struggled against Dallas in the opener, and they struggled against the Giants out there, and then San Francisco really put it to them last week.
Yeah, it's a low total. Should be. The under is 5-2 between these two in their last seven. You mentioned the East. Well, how about the NFC in particular? LA, the Rams, 15-5-1 ATS their last 21 games versus the NFC. I'll tell you one thing the Bears can't do, and they're going to have to rely on Foles a little bit here. They can't run the football, Michael. They're 28th on the ground.
No, No, they can't. And they have no physicality to their team. And that's what worries me about them tonight, is if when you make it a physical game against the Bears offense, they can't. But what they have to be able to do is turn this ball over, create a short field for their offense. And they can do that. You know, the Rams are a, you know, when after the script's done tonight, if they get through the script and they're able to survive that, you know, and then they can start putting some inside pressure with Akeem Hicks and their players inside. I think Mario Edwards has played really good for them so far as a defensive tackle. If they get pressure inside on Goff, he will make a mistake on them.
Josh, I can almost feel the tickets right now. There's going to be a million teasers on this game that people are going to tease the Rams down to zippy and tease the over. So they'll bring it under 30, obviously go to like what, 38.5 on the total.
Exactly, Patrick. And I think one key thing here, we're getting out of here in 30 seconds, but next move is critical. This is a kind of a key number. We know 3, 7, 10, but 6 is also important. The line is 6, painted -110. If you start to see this line, in, you know, juice creep up, the +6, -115, start to fall to 5.5, that's going to tell you that last second sharp move you need to want to bet Chicago.
Okay, good job, Josh. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Week 7, then get into some of the Week 8 line movement here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. New customers, bet MGM Sports. You have a chance to win $100 in free bets. Place a $1 moneyline wager, Bears-Rams. That's tonight. Either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $100. Just sign up and make your first bet with the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. If you're ready for showtime, it's the king of sportsbooks. It's BetMGM. VSIN100, Bears-Rams. Either team scores a touchdown, boom, you're in. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, West Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We are presented to you by BetMGM. This is the Lombardi Line. I have something for you, Michael. I bet you it's colder right now in Las Vegas than it is in Jersey. 45 degrees here right now.
Oh, you beat us. You got it easily because it's not even close. I mean, it's another hot day here.
Is it?
Perfect. I mean, it's not as sunny, but it's like in the 70s. It's another day. I'm in a short sleeve shirt. It's awesome. So, yeah, enjoy the East Coast. How's it 45 out there? What the hell happened?
No, it was like literally.
You're the weather guy. You're supposed to know the weather.
I've got a long sleeve shirt on. You're the one showing the guns. How about up there in New England there, Josh? What are you guys looking at?
Oh, man, it's kind of dreary. It's kind of dark. Patrick, Halloween's coming. It's getting cold. I had to bust out the flannel. So, we're trying to save money on heat. So just trying to stay warm in here.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was Mr. Prevlon or Eddie Vedder. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of these. We're going to get to an official pick from Michael on that Monday Night Football game. But there are some line movements as far as Week 8 you wanted to talk to Michael about. Why don't we start with that Thursday night game, Atlanta at Carolina, Josh?
Yeah, so this game right off the bat seems like it's taking in some smart money on the Atlanta Falcons. And again, I love looking at these lines when they open, seeing how they move, how they progress throughout the week. We also walk a tightrope and want to grab some of these numbers on a key number before they move. So this game with the Panthers, you know, the Panthers, obviously, they've lost 2 in a row here. Atlanta has been mired in a big slump, 1-6 overall, 2-5 ATS. Carolina did cover that number yesterday, though. But this would match with Atlanta as a road divisional dog, also a bad ATS team versus a good ATS team, 2-5 versus 4-3. But the line movement has all been toward Atlanta. This game was at 3. It opened Panthers -3. That it's now down to 2.5. Again, really, I think you only have value-minded sharps really betting these games so early. So it looks to me like you got some smart money Falcons +3 early. Michael, what's your take on this game? Is it a good idea to kind of buy low on Atlanta in a division game, getting the 3 here?
Well, I think when you watch Carolina play defense yesterday, you've got to think Matt Ryan will have a good day, especially if they play a zone game. I mean, yesterday Drew Brees was, I think, 12 for 14 on third down. Carolina never really could get off the field. They had the ball. The Saints had the ball 35 minutes plus. and the Panthers had the ball only 25 minutes and school still scored 24 points. I think this is going to come down to where, what the rush is going to be like for the Carolina Panthers. Can they get rush? Can they pressure Matt Ryan? They're going to move the ball on a Falcon defense. I think the Panthers have proven they can move the ball on everybody. Now, is McCaffrey going to play? I'm not sure about that. There's a lot of conversations. He may come back for this game. If he does, he and Mike Davis in the backfield, that's a pretty good comparison. Teddy Bridgewater had moments in the game yesterday. He took that horrible sack, and that really cost him because the kid was going to make the field goal had he not taken the sack. So I'm surprised everybody's on Atlanta because really – Carolina, other than what they did defensively, offensively, they played pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, Carolina 3-4 covered the 7, but lose in New Orleans 27-24. Let's jump to another one that you pointed out. It is Will Hill's Detroit Lions, not mine. Will Hill's Detroit Lions. They're at home hosting Indy, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick Michael, any interest in grabbing the points here with Detroit? This is an interesting one. You have Indy obviously coming off the bye, and one system we love is road favorites off a bye, which would match here with the Colts, so you got to be careful about that. However, this line opened Indy -3. You're seeing on the board here it's still 3, but I'm actually seeing a lot of shops now fall to 2.5. So that kind of tells me this would match with Detroit. Short home dog, key number 3, falling, trending to 2.5. Michael, what's your take here? You know, Detroit playing with some house money, getting some wins here. That late win, obviously miraculous, kind of at the last second there. But any reason to like Detroit getting the key number of 3, or are you worried about the Colts rested short line off a bye?
I'm not worried about the Colts being rested. I'm worried about Phillip Rivers. I think anytime it's a close game, you got to think about taking the other team with Phillip Rivers because you just don't know what Phillip Rivers you're going to get. And the way the Lions rushed the passer last week, that was pretty good. I mean, they rushed it. They've rushed good. Now, I don't think they'll rush very effectively against the Colts offensive line because they're really good. However, that being said, you know, that bothers me. I mean, I don't trust it. I need to work the numbers this week. But for me, just off the top, you know, I would lean towards Detroit, but again, I'm just looking at the numbers. I got to run my numbers first before I make a decision.
How about Vegas traveling to Cleveland? The big news, if you're just joining us here on the Lombardi Line, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. out for the year with the ACL. The Raiders off a loss at home to the Bucs travel to Cleveland, Josh.
Yeah, it seems like you have some respected money seeing an edge here a little bit on Vegas at the outset, because this would be a kind of a really good buy low, sell high system where the Browns, they're off that win. Obviously, you know, poor Michael with the miss extra point couldn't get his cover there, but Browns off a win, Vegas off a loss, and Vegas got blown out. But you actually have a lot of value on teams off a blowout, buying low, losing by 20 or more. And what we've seen here with Cleveland is that this line opened Cleveland -3 at home, and now it's down to 2.5. And looks like, you know, it may even fall further. We'll see. I haven't really seen any buyback back to 3. It's kind of steady 2.5, and it may trend further, almost like that Detroit game yesterday. So I see some sharps hitting the 3 here. And again, I'm pointing out all these games to you that are on 3 because the point here, the subliminal thing is, should you grab the 3 now before it falls, or wait, buy low on the favorite? But Michael, what's your take here? Obviously, Odell is gone for Cleveland. They got that win, but do you see a bounce back spot for Gruden, ideally, if you're getting the 3 on the road here?
You know, I think this, I don't think the Raiders played as bad as that score. I think the fourth quarter, they gave up 21 points. The Raiders will move the ball effectively on the Browns defense. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They will have great success. The Browns defense gives up 30 every game. Now, the question is going to be, can the Raiders defense slow down the Browns? I think the answer to that is yes. I mean, when I first saw this line, I was surprised it wasn't even a pick 'em. You know, I thought, now again, I've got to run my numbers, but to me, the Raiders can feast. They can hold the ball a long time on teams. They're going to run the football, control it. Yesterday, they couldn't control the ball. They only had the ball 28 minutes. When John Gruden and their offense can't have the ball 34 minutes and he allows his defense to play as much as they did yesterday, bad things happen because they're not a good defense. And I'm not sure that the Brownies can really exploit that defense like other teams can.
You know, there's a game we didn't discuss from yesterday that I wanted to touch on and get Michael's take and also you, Josh, and that is the Steelers 27-24 win in Tennessee. Tennessee ended up closing a point favorite here, Michael, and you were all over the Steelers yesterday. What were your takeaways from this Steeler win?
You know, I thought it would be a close game. I thought the Steelers would slow them down offensively in terms of stop the running game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I was disappointed in the Steelers in the second half. I thought Ben would score. They scored 24 points in the first half. I thought the game needed to get to 31-34 for them to win it. And he turned the ball over badly, and he gave Tennessee an open door. And Gostkowski, as I talked about on my podcast, anytime we talked about it on Sunday yesterday, anytime you take a team in a close game, and you knew this was going to be a close game, and you can't depend on the field goal kicker, then it's buyer beware. Buyer beware. And so that's exactly what happened. I thought that Tannehill got a lot of pressure. I think Lewan injury at left tackle is going to affect Tennessee as we move forward. I think Pittsburgh's a really good team. They won a game that was a close game. They dominated. Their offense looked really in rhythm, and they went right out and attacked Tennessee the perfect way. They went right after them in terms of being able to attack their secondary. I thought it was great.
And I believe it landed exactly on that 51. I got a closer of 51 here, Josh. You may have it differently, but 27-24. So number lands on the total.
Yeah, pushed right there on the 51. We got to be honest about this. Michael Lombardi beat the sharps on this one because wise guys, you know, they cash with Washington, no. Detroit, Carolina cards. But Michael was sharper than the Prevalone. This was a clear, a sharp reverse line move to the Titans, going from +1.5 to -1. It did not matter. Lombardi is sharper than the sharps. And I love that Michael has his conviction and stick with what he believes, because that was a loss by the pros on Titans.
You know, it was really, to me, I didn't understand how the Titans, because the Titans defense is like Seattle. So the Titans and Seattle mirror each other exactly. They're the same way. Now, obviously, Russell's great, and they've got Derrick Henry, and you don't really, the backs are good in Seattle. But to me, the reality is they're very similar. And anytime you play a close game against a team that can't play defense, it's always going to be a 50-50 coin toss, you know? And so, look, I didn't understand, Josh, why everybody was hopped on Tennessee, because Tennessee was due to lose a game because they've been sneaking out a bunch of these games. Now, what the line that shocks me right now this week going in is that they're under a touchdown favorite against Cincinnati.
Yep, 100%. Okay, before we get out of here, Josh, set Michael up officially where we started and where we are for Monday Night Football. We'll get a pick.
Yes, looking at this game here, guys, again, to me, it was an unclear opener, either -5.5 Rams or -7. But either way, the line is settled at 6 here. Tickets are split down the middle. There's no contrarian value either way. But the Bearswood match is a road team, short road dog. The referee Vinovich favors road teams. To me, the value is Bears +6. Not a sharp play, but a value play. Also, a little bit of smart money under, dropped at 47 of 44.5. But Michael, what's your take? Are you going Nick Foles or Hurricane here, Coach Dicka?
I'm gonna go with the Bears. I like the 6 points. I think the Bears defense needs to play as well as they can play today. You know, winning ugly is all relative. Winning ugly means your defense is good, and I think their defense is good. They're one of the four teams that I think can play defense. I think the Bucs did it. The Bucs play defense well. You know, they'll play defense well against anybody. I think the Bears can do the same thing.
Okay, GM Shuffle is the pod. Of course, Market Insights, VSiN.com/podcast. Fellas, enjoy the Monday Night Football game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Patrick.
No, we'll be Wednesday, Patrick. Oh, we got a day off. We got to take a break.
That's right, Michael. I'll see you on Wednesday. Then I think you're working with every other VSiN employee the rest of the week, but I'll be here with you on Wednesday. Aaron, thank you. Anne, thank you. Josh, thank you. Of course, Michael Lombardi, thank you. The Edge, JBT's coming up next. Enjoy your Monday.